This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. It's Friday. It's 4 p.m. It's Back Row and Chill. I'm Johanna James and I'm joined today by the lovely... Selfie!
I forgot my name for a second there.
Happens to us all at the best of times, don't worry. We have got such a packed show for you today. We've got some amazing guests lined up to talk to us about Edinburgh Fringe, the Underbelly Festival.
Underbelly.
It used to be Udderbelly, which is why I got a bit confused for a second there. We've got Lucy Patterson coming in later on, our resident film reviewer. And we have... so much entertainment news to get through for you today. Sophie, do you want to give a little bit about yourself and where you're from? Where are you from?
Hello, everyone. My name's Sophie. I'm a Capricorn. No, ooh. I'm kidding. I'm Sophie. I'm an actor, presenter. Been in London for 5 years now.
Where are you from? Because your accent says you're not from here.
I'm not, am I? I'm very northern. So, yeah, I'm from a tiny little town up in the Lake District. So... couldn't be more different to London.
Just watch how I become more and more northern as this show goes on.
It happens. It happens to the best of us.
I do. I'm worse than most people for accents. I will literally start to adopt whoever I'm talking to. I'll start adopting
their
accent.
What's it called? I think the technical term is hedging.
Is that?
Apparently, yeah.
Oh.
I think. I might be wrong. Don't quote me.
That's quite sexual.
It does, isn't it?
Or maybe that's edging. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh. Mixing them up. But I do that. And I used to work in a call centre. And by the end of the phone, honestly, I'd be like Welsh, Irish. It would be like, okay.
All right, then.
You have a lovely day. All right. Like, what?
Take care.
Right. Okay. Let's get straight into a bit of music because I've got a packed show full of soundtracks. That's what we do, Sophie. Every week, mm-hmm. I go and find my favourite songs that I'm loving from TV shows, Netflix shows, old, new, whatever, doesn't matter. I'm going a bit old school now. This is an 80s track called Axel F, mm-hmm. which has appeared recently on the Netflix Glow, which if you haven't checked that out, it is my favourite thing on Netflix.
It's so good. I finished it.
Oh, did you take my recommendation and watch it?
I did. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's so good.
Not going to lie, there are a lot of songs coming up from Glow, so today's going to be very 80s themed. So we're going to kick it off with this one, and I think we should have a little bit of a boogie just because it's Friday and we'll get warmed up.
Definitely.
Do some lunges. Here we go. it ended. Okay, that's awkward. Awkward when you're singing a song and it just cuts out on you. Cheers. Cheers, music deck. Right, it is Friday. It's Background Chill. I'm Johanna James. I'm joined by the lovely...
Lovely. There it is. Lovely. It's happening.
Oh, I'm already happening.
It's happening.
Oh, I'm already turning more Northern. It's Sophie Craig.
It's Sophie Craig.
And if you like the sound of our voices and would like to see what we look like, you can, because you can check out all our socials, because that's what Sophie does. She makes comedy bits and bobs on the internet.
Hey.
So where would they find your face if they want to...
If you want to find my face, you can just Google... No, I'm kidding.
Don't Google. Whatever you do.
Don't Google me, okay? You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at It's Sophie Craig. On my Twitter is Sophie Lou Craig, and my Snapchat's Sophie Lou Craig as well.
Sophie Craig. Guys, if you want to get involved in today's show, please do. We are just but a tweet away. So join at FooBar Radio. Make sure you're following us, and you can tweet us in there, or you can even email into the show to make it extra personal. That's chill@foobarradio.com. chill@foobarradio.com. You can email in anything, questions, we will answer. It can be about anything. I mean, not that we're particularly experts, but
anything.
Or let us know what kind of movies you're enjoying at the moment, or movies that you're hating. We will shout you out, so get involved. Just tweet us at FooBar Radio. Love it. I think it's time for a bit of entertainment news. Ooh. All right, okay, so we're just going to go into this little segment of the show. I'm just going to walk you through the show as we go, because you're new to this. But let me find my little thing. Okay, here we go. It is time for the entertainment news on Background and Chill. I know, we're so technical here. It's amazing. Okie dokie, what's going on in film news? Right, so we were literally just talking about this off air, weren't we?
Yes.
Baby Driver.
Oh, yes.
So Edgar Wright is already in talks about a Baby Driver sequel.
Is he?
Yes, which I'm like, yes!
Yes!
I mean, it's not really a surprise. It's like smashed the box office. It smashed the reviews.
Yeah.
It is my favourite. I'm going to go see it again, actually, on Sunday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wicked.
I just want to see it. Because me and Seth, we got to go and see the premiere, didn't we?
We did, indeed. Oh, yeah.
Which was all kinds of fun. So if you haven't checked out Baby Driver at the cinema, really do. And also go to Spotify, because they've got the entire soundtrack on there.
The soundtrack is amazing. We were just saying, like, I was listening to it on the underground on the way here, and you're walking with purpose. Like, it's a soundtrack to your life.
It is.
It's brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. So I'm so excited that number two is on the cards. I hope it's still got everyone involved that didn't die. No spoilers. What? So, hopefully, because it kind of ends on a... I wasn't sure whether the ending was sort of a dream or whether it was the real thing.
Was it the end?
Was it just the beginning? Mm-hmm. We don't know. Very exciting. If you have seen the film and you would like to win a little bit of merchandise, stay tuned, because we've got a Baby Driver competition we're going to launch on the show today. So you're going to need to be involved in our Twitter for that, at FooBar Radio. Just make sure you're following. All you need to do is retweet when we launch that competition, and you can win a whole bundle of official Baby Driver stuff.
Very nice.
Very excited.
Oh, you're very generous.
I wish you could win baby. That would be great.
A baby?
No, not a baby. Baby. Just to clarify, I do not want to win any children. Baby is the name of the lead guy in the film. He's the getaway driver, and he's called Baby, and I kind of have a crush on him now.
Oh, do you now?
I think I do.
He was in Fault in Our Stars, wasn't he?
He was. He was also the main guy in Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a crush on him on that,
you will now.
You will now, when he's driving a car and being all sexy. Okie dokie. Now, Emma Stone has said that male co-stars have taken pay cuts to ensure equal pay, because there is... there's a lot of chit-chat. Well, always there's a lot of chit-chat, but especially right now in Hollywood, about equal pay, equal right, who gets paid fairly and whatnot. I think it was... Who's the most well-paid? I think it's Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, it is.
I think she's the most well-paid.
And I think the male is Dwayne Johnson, quite possibly.
Oh, I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But saying that, even though Jennifer Lawrence was the most well-paid... she got like less of a fee than I'm pretty sure she got less of a fee than Chris Pratt for Passengers.
There's a lot of things, isn't
so
there, but like
it was
Wonder Woman, there, that's another good example. There's a big thing about she got massively underpaid in comparison to anyone that's done sort of another superhero movie
to Superman.
Yeah,
Superman got like millions, and she got $300,000.
Yeah, that was it. It's bad, isn't it?
I mean, she has got more now. Now that the film's done really good, I think she's been paid in like sort of subdues afterwards. I just made that word up, subdues.
Royalties.
That's the one. But I'm going to call them subdues. She's about to star in her next movie, which is called Battle of the Sexes. And she's revealed that male actors that she has worked with have taken a pay cut to match her salary, which is really nice. Yeah. And I think the Big Bang Theory, they did this as well.
Yes, they did.
All the five main members of the Big Bang Theory, they took a pay cut so that the other two who play Bernadette and Thingamabob's girlfriend, the two girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
They could get pay rises.
That was it.
So that was quite nice as well. I mean, this film called Battle of the Sexes is looked quite good, so I thought I'd pop a trailer on so everyone can have a little listen to what. So this is Emma Stone's new movie, Battle of the Sexes. Trailer's out now.
Hello?
Eureka, Billie Jean!
It's Bobby Riggs. I had a great idea. Male chauvinist pig versus hairy leg feminist.
You're still a feminist, right?
I'm a tennis player who happens to be a woman.
Don't hang up.
By the way, I shaved my legs.
Billie Jean King, already a champion of women's rights, is now the most successful female player of all time.
I am not saying that women don't belong on the court. Who would pick up the balls otherwise?
Oh, my God.
Call Bobby. Tell him it's on.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love women in the bedroom and in the kitchen.
What are you talking, Bobby? The more nonsense you spell, the worse it's going to be when you lose.
I'm going to be the best. That way I can really change things.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put the show back in chauvinism.
Bobby's a clown. This whole thing's an act for him.
40 million people are watching. The battle you've all been waiting to see.
Now I'm done talking, let's play.
The battle of the sexes.
I put the show back in show business.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What else have I got there? Right. Did you see the movie Creed that came out a couple of years ago?
No. Do you know what? I haven't.
It was actually very, very good.
Yeah. My fiancé keeps saying, we need to watch it. I think he's seen it twice, but...
I like the little casual drop that you got a fiancé. Oh, did I mention the fiancé?
Oh, my fiancé. I still can't get... I've been engaged now for like ever. And I still
20 years.
24 years. And I still cringe myself out using that word.
I know. It's quite so hard cringing. To say. You've got to sort of slightly step
it's
over
like,
it. My fiancé.
I didn't realise there was two versions of it. There's really? A girl version and the boy version.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, so if you're a girl, it's a fiancé, which is two E's.
Yeah.
And if it's a guy, it's just the one E. I didn't know that until
so how
I had
do you
to buy the cards.
Oh, but you say it both the same.
Fiancé. Yeah, I guess so.
This is my fiance.
My fiance.
Sounds more French that way, doesn't it? I don't know. If anyone knows that, what's the technical, is there a difference in pronunciation? Fiancé. Let us know. It's that kind of Friday. So Creed, yes, that's where we were. Yes. So Creed 2 is coming back, including Michael B. Jordan, who played the Creed guy, the main guy, who was absolutely gorgeous.
Hello.
So I'm super happy that he's back. And apparently Sylvester Stallone has dropped on, he dropped on Twitter or Instagram, he dropped a picture of the possible Creed 2, I think they kind of like Photoshop something together of the possible storyline. But basically it's going to be Creed Jr. is going to be ending up fighting the guy who killed his dad in the original Rocky movie. So it's going to be all like epic showdown with personal parent issues and stuff. So I'm kind of excited about Creed 2. That'd be amazing. And the Fantastic Beast sequels have begun filming finally, and the rumor mill is saying that there's going to be a lot of surprising nods to the original Harry Potter. So there's going to be more Harry Potter references than there was in the other one.
Oh, lovely! We love Harry Potter.
We do love Harry Potter. We do love Harry Potter. And the next film is going to be moving to, like, it's going to be set in London and Paris, which I'm really excited about. So they're going back more to Europe, which I think was one of the things that I felt was a bit missing from the Fantastic Beast, because it was over the pond.
Yeah.
It just lost.
Harry Potter's not over the pond.
Harry Potter's English.
Yeah, you know.
It's English!
It's us, darn it!
So I think that it's coming back to film in London, and I think that's going to make it a lot more, it's going to have that quaint Britain. But that's what the Americans liked as well. They loved the fact that it was in England.
Yay.
And we love the fact that it was England, so just give it in England, all right? Cool. They've listened to us. They may proceed in making that movie. And I'm just going to end for now on this bit of a viral phenomenon that happened this week. Did you hear about the bullied birthday boy called Ollie?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, so on Twitter, there's a little boy called Ollie who was turning 9 this week, and his mum tweeted, does anybody know anyone sort of famous who could say happy birthday to Ollie? Because he's having a really bad time with bullies, and particularly bullies that are sort of really having a go at him for the fact that... that he doesn't really have anything, or like he doesn't know anyone, and that kind of thing. Yeah. So it'd be really amazing if someone. So what happened was somehow this got picked up on some sort of the way that this does in the internet, and Stormzy ended up retweeting and tweeting back to him to say happy birthday.
So many celebrities did.
Who else was it?
I think even the Gladiator guy got in touch. Yeah. Russell Crowe did.
Russell Crowe. Yeah. There was so many celebs jumped on, which was just amazing. So this little boy got happy birthday from like all of Twitter, basically. And I think that was amazing because so much of the internet is spreading like so much crap and so much hate and so much like... Ugh.
Do you know, it's really heartwarming, isn't it? And I think it's really good to show... Obviously, he's 9. Do you know what I mean? Like... And the amount of like crap that goes on, like people use it as a platform to bully now, don't they? Being online and stuff. So to see something really positive come from it, I think is so cool.
And the fact that they were saying happy birthday, oh yeah, like Zoella and her boyfriend sent video messages
in. There was tons. There's the presenters on This Morning, all like the CBeebies presenters and stuff as well, like that he watches. I think it's so cute.
I think Stormzy was probably a bit cooler than the CBeebies presenters.
Yeah.
Probably got a bit more street cred.
Yeah.
but that was the main, that they all sort of stood up in the fact that like, I think, like, what's it? Exactly as Stormzy said. He said, like, don't pay any attention to the bullies. They all end up being the biggest wastemen later on and stuff. I was just like, not only did he say happy birthday, he also insulted your bullies directly.
Amazing.
Boom.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, let's get back on track with a little bit of music because I'm feeling that a little bit more. Another one from The Glow. I think we've got to go for another one for The Glow.
Yeah.
This is You Make Me Feel by Sylvester, and I think you cannot... not dance to this song. Mm-mm. So it's going to be possible. So I'm going to get stretching out.
Let's limber up.
Let's limber up because this is You Make Me Feel. Woo!
I'm
Hannah James on FUBAR Radio.
We're back. It's time for our first guest. I think we've got our first guest in the studio. So a huge round of applause. Welcome to Maddie Allenhall.
Welcome,
girl. And we just had a little bit of a mini reunion in the green room because we already know each other.
We played pool for a thing and then we did some sexing on a pool table. No, that's wrong. We lay over a pool table.
Yeah, we got very sexual on a pool table.
Sounds very nice.
For a sketch, guys. Basically, anything goes if you just say it's for a sketch. We're just filming a sketch.
I shot someone today, but it was fine. I'm filming a sketch.
It's for a sketch.
I mean, actually, this week I did have a little experience of that. I dressed up as an old woman.
With a dimmer frame.
Yeah. And in the sketch, I'm supposed to, like, the guy comes over and I go, like, oh, piss off. And I end up getting in a fight with someone, basically. Yeah. And we were trying to film out on the street. And every time I fell over on the dimmer frame, everyone would come running. God. There was heroes. Rose from everywhere. I was quite impressed they actually thought I was an old woman.
Yeah. And then more that there's heroes. Where are they?
Exactly. I was like, if I just fell over in the street, people would just laugh. Exactly. But if I was an old lady, so I was quite happy that I felt when I'm old.
And we know, yeah, exactly. We know. So now it's catcalling, but don't worry. Get through the catcalling because when we're old, people will help us when we fall on our asses.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can you imagine, though, that if you are a hot old lady, you're going to get a big mix of both?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, I'll help you, dear. Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Cougar.
Sturdy hip.
So, Maddie, you are an actress in your own right.
Character comedian, let's go. I trained as an actress, but hey, look, you got to focus on one thing.
Look what's happened.
Yeah.
And so you have a brownie show, which is it's going to Edinburgh.
I thought you said a brownie show. That's great.
It's all about brownies.
Oh, my God.
All different kinds of brownies. Salted caramel? No. A brand new show that is going to be, it's at the Underbelly.
Yeah.
Right, I did actually see that this was on, and I texted my other friend and was like, "Can we go and see this?" It's really amazing.
Yeah, oh, good. Are you coming up? Yeah, man, it's going to be good. I think it's my first time there. I'm normally in Gilded, so I just wanted to do. I'm 30 at the end of this year, and I was like, I need to not give any. Fucked. I can swear on FUBAR.
Yeah,
right?
I've
been doing so much normal radio that I'm like,
give any darn tooths about that.
But yeah, no. So I thought, well, this is the year that I'm 30. So this is going to be the year that to like write the show that I want to write and just not listen to anybody and just do it.
Yeah.
So I did. So I did it in December, and then in February I did Leicester Comedy Festival, and it was like the first proper run of it I'd had. And as I was on stage, I was like, there's a bit I do where I do like an inner child, and I was like, oh shit, this is coming up, like, how's this gonna go? And like, there's a whole bit about how we, like, you know, basically I play my own inner child because I found out about 4 or 5 years ago I can do a really good voice of a 5-year-old child.
Oh, nice.
How did you find that out?
I don't want to get into that. I'm kidding.
It was for a sketch, okay?
Oh my God. So then I was like, you know, doing Leicester Comedy Festival, and I was like, this is going to, like, not sure how this is going to go down. Because you were writing for like up to 6 months by yourself in a room.
Yeah.
And you go a bit crazy. Mm. You know, it's an hour show. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing. So then I got nominated Best New Show at Leicester. So I was like, great. Okay, so I'm on to a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I've been previewing it ever since then, really. So I'm kind of like, my big one next weekend is I'm playing main stage Latitude Festival for the first time.
Oh, I love Latitude.
Wow. Yeah, so I said to myself when that got booked that I'd have a finished show by Latitude. So I got a week.
It's all right. Never too late. How do you find doing like a one woman hour show? Because that would like terrify me to go and be on my own.
No, you wouldn't. Ooh. No. I mean, the thing is, I like, sometimes I love it and sometimes I hate it. Because I just did a show in Brighton Comedia and I was doing a double bill with Sleeping Trees. I use a sketch group, sketch. And they're brilliant. And the guy was like, yeah, we don't really know it, but it's fine because, you know, if I'm feeling a bit tired, then he can do it. And, like, you know, they can kind of share the thing. And I was like, that is it. When you get to, like, the third week of Edinburgh, that you're, like, on stage being like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But then having said that, I'm a bit of, like, a... I'm a bit OCD when it comes to like organisation and like getting things done. And so I kind of feel like when I'm doing a one woman, at least I know that I'm going to be there for the rehearsal like 98% of the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But yeah, I get that. Yeah, because you have the control of it.
Yeah.
I think actually that's one thing, because I've gone from actor to kind of online comedian where I make all my own sketches and whatnot. And then now I've got so used to writing, filming, directing, shooting, editing everything that to then hand that back to someone would be really weird, because I feel like I'm just like a control monster now.
Yeah, you do. And the thing is, like, of course, you, when you get, when we, you know, get to that point of having our own sitcom, you know, of course, like, share and share alike, you know, fine. But I think up to that point, and you do, like, I've done a few bits and pieces for TV, and, like, when you're writing those, I remember the first one I did, and they were like, yeah, yeah, that's cool. So we've just got a team of writers, so just kind of hand over, and then, you know, they'll get back to you. And I was like, sorry? No, so I can go in there. And they're like, no, that's cool, you don't need to.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but I want to.
That's my baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Things are changing, I think, these days, especially sort of with online presence and stuff as well. Like, I'm a trained actor as well. Hello, guys. But, like, I think you make your own work. Do you know what I mean? I think that's, like, there's a new way into sort of the industry now, isn't there?
And I think it's always been there, but it's just more than ever with, like, YouTube and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of, like, this is why I started a production company, like, 3 months ago, and this is why I did it, because... Yeah. I do characters, and I kind of was ashamed, actually, the amount of people that were like, oh, cool, so, like, can we see your character stuff? And, you know, I just didn't have, like, an online presence. Mm-hmm. And just in terms of, like, full sketches or just little bits, you know, stuff you do, and working with comedians. And I was like, if there's a platform for existing and upcoming comedians to work together and create new work and film it and get it out there and pitch it for TV, then I'm going to do it. But I was like, oh, shit, I haven't got any money. So I was like, oh, I need to get some money. So then I got this incredible guy who invested, who is now my business partner, who I was just really, really lucky to find. And so we work together. He does the business side, which is great because I'm shit at taxes.
Yeah.
And then I get to do the creative stuff. So, you know, it's still terrifying because I'm going, oh, I don't want it to get to after Edinburgh and then, you know, the money be run out and then that's the end of the company. Like, you've got to keep
pushing
stuff out.
Gotta keep
and
it going.
Like, getting, because where's the money? Well, it's commissions, really.
Yeah.
Like, until you get to your point of, like, you know, YouTube stardom, you can't, there's not money for, like, little odd sketches and stuff. You know, you've got to keep putting it out there.
And what is it's called Herselves.
Okay. The show, yeah.
And as a little bit of a synopsis of people thinking, okay, a lot of fun on this, I'm going to go down to Udderbelly.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Okay, so the thinking behind it was that I'm going to talk for us as women. We're mental. And when continue. So when you're in different situations, right, you interact with people in different ways. Like, when you're with your boyfriend, you'll speak to him one way. Like, you wouldn't use that same way to speak to your mum and dad. Like, you wouldn't, like,
can you imagine?
You know, there's, like, all these different. And so I kind of came up with this idea that behind every successful woman is herself. So it's about every single woman that, like, lives inside of us. So I play
multiple personalities. Exactly.
It's totally that. It's totally that.
Yeah.
So I play 16 characters. So I play 15 women and one man. Mm-hmm. And there's a little twist at the end, which obviously I won't tell you, but you find out that, well, something at the end. So it's like there's there's a nice, like, big link for all of the characters that kind of tie together. So it's my way of basically going, what is the way for me to have a platform to, like, do as many characters as I want and do them in little sketches and, you know, have little vignettes. Like, some of them are 15 seconds and some of them are 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and back to back, and have it almost in a way that's like, you know, Orange is the New Black. I love Orange is the New Black because there's just the writing in it is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
amazing.
In one episode, you've got, you know, 15 story arcs of characters. And I just love that. So I was like, you know, I've got an hour here. I could conceivably have story arcs in there of characters as well, going from beginning to end. So that's what it is. So it's just a kind of super surreal,
like an onion.
Yeah, it is. I am like an onion. Thank you.
I didn't say that because I knew you were going to finish that sentence.
Did you?
That was weird.
Uh-oh.
I set it up for you. I'll take it.
Take it.
Think working. If you like Orange is the New Black, or if anyone listening likes the makers of that show have made Glow, which is the new Netflix thing. And it is like again, that same thing. It's all 14 women who like or wannabe actresses who sign up for this new wrestling women's TV show, and they have no idea how to wrestle or act, really. And it's absolutely, so it's funny but brilliant, and it's kind of Orange is the New Black esque in that way.
Yeah.
And it's my favourite thing at the moment.
Yeah.
At all.
I've got it lined up, but I can't. The thing is, I'm just worried if I start that, then I'm not going to stop. It's like Orange is the New Black. I did that. I binged that new series in 2 days and I didn't do any work. So I can't start that yet. That's what I can do in Edinburgh, maybe.
Yeah. And they're only 25 minutes per episode, so you can
just snip it.
Yeah, a little snippet there. It's like a little snack, basically.
My last Edinburgh, I was all about Stranger Things. So when's that coming back? That must be coming back soon.
That must be coming back soon.
Because that was then a year.
I want to say October, but I don't know.
It's been a year. It has been a year.
It has, because I was watching it in August.
Yeah, it's been over a year.
It is back soon. She's got really curly hair. 11.
What? Oh, she's growing her hair. She's going to have to shave it.
Well, no. It's curly. They've done the pictures.
In the I think they've stopped having to have her head shaved because the poor actress is going to have her head shaved for like the next 5 years.
I mean, no, not the poor actress. Look at the career. I do not feel sorry for her.
I like her bald. I think
she looked amazing.
I rocked it.
Her and Natalie Portman.
She's literally her as a child, isn't
but
she?
I've seen them with their head shaved, and for a second I've gone, should I? I think.
What, shave your own head?
Yeah, don't do it. It's tempted me, and then I've gone, no, Johanna, you do not look like Natalie Portman.
I've got a really big head as well.
I've got a really small head.
I think I'd look like an alien or something.
Oh, The Stranger Things season 2 will arrive Halloween.
Ah, yes! I thought I did.
No, that's annoying. Oh, that's a shame. We know summer.
We want summer.
Yeah, but it is obviously.
Fuck you, Stranger Things.
Obviously, the best time is Halloween.
I didn't mean it. Please come back. I love you. Okay.
It might be really scary.
Right, we're going to pop to a little bit of music, and then we can come back and continue chit-chatting about, comedy and fannies and all of that. Right, okay. Let's go for a bit of Bon Jovi. This is also from Glow. I'm going through all the soundtrack of this series because it's
amazing,
brilliant.
Amazing.
We'll be back on Back Round Chill. The song hasn't quite started yet, so we're going to keep talking.
So as I took my headphones off, I was ready.
This is like the most incredible intro to Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer that I've ever heard. We can start it out. Oh, here we go. It's coming. Let's do a little bit of flexing, a little bit of dancing. It's coming in.
Here we go.
Look.
right, is it actually 1984 in the studio today? You would think by my music choices. Right, we are still talking to Maddie Anholt, who is got a brand new show called Herselves at the Udderbelly Festival, which is South Bank, right?
No, Edinburgh Fringe, Underbelly.
Oh, that's why. But it's also sometimes on the South Bank.
The Underbelly is, yeah. So the Underbelly is the Underbelly, so there's it's confusing.
That's
so
why.
One,
yeah.
Okay. So there is one. So there is one on the South Bank, correct. But then it goes up to Edinburgh, which is kind of same but different.
Same but different, but it's not. All right, so you've got to be in that end of the country. Oh, I was organising with my friend. We would have been turning up down on the South Bank. Oh. Like, where is it?
Because I was wondering. That's why I was like, oh, you're going to Edinburgh then?
I was like, no. Oh, mate. So if
yeah,
you want to,
that's
though,
for the fridge.
You're going to be on from the 3rd to the 27th of August.
Yeah, that's correct. Tell me about it, babe. Yeah, every
is
day.
That just one show a day, or is it you doing a few?
I am doing, so yeah, it's one main show a day, yeah. Which is at the Clover Underbelly at 1:30. That's my main show. And then after that, we're doing like various lots of different pieces. So we're doing some radio there, we're doing filming, we're going to do like one big mega event that we haven't quite finished planning yet, but it's going to happen at the very end. So there's basically like running stuff every single day.
Amazing.
As well.
Wow.
So it's one of those ones that you go like, I just need to just, like, because normally I take, everyone takes the 15th off, yeah. But it makes no difference. Like, you're so screwed anyway, you might as well just keep working. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's one of those. Like, it's actually, it's worse if you stop.
You run on adrenaline.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep going.
Because then you just get hammered on the, like, the night before, and you're like, yeah, woo, day off tomorrow. And then you take that whole day just to sleep, and then you feel even worse.
Yeah.
So I'm like, screw this. I'm just going to work. I did say about 2 months ago, I was going to do a dry August, but... Well, I mean, I make no promises. but certainly it's going to be like a full on. And then as soon as I get back, I'm going to Turkey. I'm done.
Do you know who you remind me of? There's a comedian called Louisa O'Malley.
Oh, God. Yes.
Why is she like a rival?
No. No, it's fine.
But she smashed Edinburgh. She's a one woman show.
Did.
And she smashed Edinburgh with her show, What Would Beyonce Do?
Yeah.
And that. It was recently on the BBC. I think it might still be on iPlayer, but that show really revolutionised like my thinking of comedy and really made me go, I want to get up on stage and do stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. So have you had those comparisons before?
Yeah, once. No, but it's, I mean, the thing is, because I got into this like argument once that I did a little thing for The Guardian, and they were like, something, stand up comedian Maddie Anholt. And I was like, well, whatevs. And it was quite a few years ago. And I got the amount of abuse I got off stand ups being like, you're not a fucking stand up comedian, you're not this, and like, she's not. And I was like, whoa, there is actually a real thing within the world of comedy. Because I am not a stand up comedian.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I, you know, and people don't, and it's a, but what does it matter? Like, it's comedy.
Yeah.
So I
on
do,
stage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you are standing up.
Exactly. Well, I mean, this is my point. So I do characters. So I do like character comedy. And so anyway, since then I've just been like, do I really have to be super conscientious about going, I'm not a stand-up? Like, I did another interview the other day and I was like, do I have to take out the word stand-up? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not. Like, I don't go and gig every single night. Like, I don't, you know, go and do like a £20 gig in Aberdeen. Like, I don't do that just because I can't, because I need to hide behind something, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's where Louisa kind of bridged the gap, because she does her stand up in a character.
Yeah.
So she's slightly on both sides. Like, so she's like a, what if one of your characters did an entire show
exactly
in the one.
Exactly.
So that's why I really liked it. And also I liked her jokes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I was thinking then when I was initially writing the show, like, my sort of main character that I do is Shaza, aka Scheherazade. He's my Persian princess, princess. And I was going to do a whole show of her for an hour. And then I was like, if Edinburgh is A, so freaking expensive, and like, if I'm really, because I wasn't going to do Edinburgh again this year, and then I was like, if I get sponsored, then I'll do it. And then I got sponsored and I was like, shit.
Now I gotta do it.
Can't want to do it. So then I got sponsored by Moneybox, which is an amazing app. And then I was like, okay, so now I've got this like show, but then I might as well just use it as a bit of a showcase, and I might as well just do all of my characters rather than just doing one.
For sure.
So just watch. I'm going to tweet you. Watch. Wait for the reviewer that goes, well, this is just a showcase. Watch, because it will happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you expect? Like, what else?
Sorry, I was just showcasing my stand-up. Mic drop.
Yeah.
That'll piss them off.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that was brilliant. Well, I think for the last couple of minutes, I want to be. You can be my virgin interviewee on this new concept here on Becca and Chill, which is like the mystery jar of random questions.
Okay.
So I'm going to just pop open this little jar here.
Are you engaged?
No.
Oh, no, it's the wrong hand.
Do you know what? I've got rings on both.
Oh, okay.
I bought myself a vintage ring off eBay because fuck it, I'm marrying myself.
Go on, girl power.
Did you? Yeah. I was like, well, I really want a nice pretty ring. I'm not going to wait for a guy to buy it for me.
That's nice.
Buy it for myself, babe. 40 quid. It's lovely. Right, here we go. I'm rustling around here.
Okay.
In the I literally have not writ these myself.
I'm just
going to pull one out. And here we go.
Can I get like two passes or one pass at least? Come on.
Okay. What is the most useless talent you have?
Oh, my God. Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's really bad for radio, but whatever.
All right, go on.
Okay. So I can be Sally Phillips.
Okay.
Do you know Sally Phillips from Bridget Jones' Diary?
Yes.
Okay. Ready? Okay, it doesn't work on radio, but was. So she's like, okay, Kafka.
Oh, my God, I see it!
Kafka, fuck them, Bridge. Like, fuck them all, okay? Fuck them.
It's Sally Phillips!
Yeah.
I love her. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's useless at all.
Thanks, because I love her. I love her.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
What is your most useless talent, Sophie?
My most useless talent. Oh, I can kick my head with my legs, like get my legs around my neck.
Wait, kick your.
Yeah, I have to lie on the floor.
Oh no, okay, don't worry.
But we'll trust you can do it.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's not. There was one time it was like a really bad thing that happened. I remember I was hanging off my friend at school, and she was walking, and like I was hanging off her shoulders on her back, and like being dragged along, if you will. And she fell back, on me, and I just went in half, and she winded me. I thought I was dead.
So now, then you've realised since that point you can do it.
Oh no, I've always been able to do it. But I mean, I suppose if I hadn't been able to do it, I might have broken my back. But
no, I just realised you're hypermobile like me,
cheeky.
So that's probably why you survived that.
I thought that you should say though, that's the story. That's how you. It's like kind of like a Spider-Man thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
You just fell on your back, and ever since then you could fold in half backwards. Yeah.
That's brilliant, because that's a story.
That's cool, though, isn't it?
Mine is so lame, but I realised today that my talent in life, my useless talent in life, is I have a talent that all my necklaces will rotate so that the back clasp is on the front at all times.
So my chokers do it even.
In all photos or videos or whatever,
I've
got the back little shitty clasp bit at all times.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I move it round, I'll look back in the mirror, and it's my neck just rotates my neck.
So one day when you're, you know, super rich and famous, like next week, employ somebody to be like a clasp turner.
Exactly, and they can just turn my neck just around at all times.
Maybe you can get like a magnet implanted into your chest and, you know.
All that.
I mean.
That's, yeah.
Did you see that thing? There's a story going around at the moment about a hamster. Oh my God. Oh no, sorry, it just reminded me. I just have to tell you about it real quick. This girl, her hamster had been like sat by the side of his cage for like 3 days, hadn't been eating, drinking, and this, that, and the other. So she took it to the vet, and sounds like I'm warming up for a joke, doesn't it? She took it to a vet, he took it out, and it was fine. He was walking around, he was great. And the vet was like, there's nothing wrong. Like, what would he been doing before, you know, he got ill? And she was like, oh, well, he got out and he was under the fridge. He was like, oh, I looked inside her mouth. There was a magnet inside the hamster's mouth. It stored it in its cheek. It got magnetised to the side of the cage for 3 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, poor little thing.
Oh, no.
Bless him.
I know.
But can you imagine, always check inside your hamster's mouth.
Yeah. Check for magnets.
And your children's mouth. Children and hamsters just always open their mouth and have a scoop. Just you never know what's going to go on there. Thank you so much, Maddie, for coming on.
Thank you.
And all the best of luck for herself. All 16 of you.
Yes.
Yep. That looks absolutely amazing. And we will tweet. We'll tweet about it. We'll make sure you tweet
it out. Thank you,
Annie. Brilliant. Right. Music-wise, I think I'm going to go... Let's have a little look. What am I doing? What am I looking for? Let's go Head Over Heels, Tears for Fears, because, you know, like, why not?
Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
I always get so excited when I manage to do the like music to audio clip transfer correctly.
That's a beautiful transition.
I did that well. Right, we are moving on to our second guest. So a huge welcome to David William Bryan.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio, Back Row and Chill. And
thanks for having me.
We are going to be chit-chatting about your show because you're also going to be at Edinburgh. Yep. It is the time of the fringe.
It
the
is.
Fringe.
Everyone's just disappearing up there for all
La France.
La France. You literally took the words out of my mouth.
Damn it, sorry. I stole that one. But yeah, so your show is called Trashed.
It is.
Why is it called Trashed?
Well, a couple of reasons. It's about a bin man.
Okay, that would make
sense. And
he's
also an alcoholic.
So it's like the double play.
I feel sorry for him already.
But it's the double
play.
It's the double play there.
Yeah.
So like it sort of encompasses everything, really.
That's brilliant. And how did it come about?
So in 2012, mm-hmm. I met the writer Sasha Moore at a writers' group at the Bush Theatre.
Okay.
And because I also write as well. Mm. And we kept in touch, shared work. And then about 2 years ago, she rang me with the idea. And then it went back and forth for about 2 years, and we finally finished it. And then we did like a work in progress run of it last April. And now we're going to the fringe with it.
Amazing. Wow. So it's been like quite a long time coming, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a very long time coming.
Ooh, exciting.
It's been good though, because we've had time to just like do everything properly.
Yeah.
Because we knew we were going up to Edinburgh before last Edinburgh.
Yeah, okay.
So last Edinburgh, we went up there and basically did a big recon mission and just watched everything and
scouted
did our research.
Mm-hmm. Notepad in hand.
No.
Yeah.
Cheeky.
Oh, that's and so are you excited? Are you ready? Are you not
ready?
Yeah,
I'm like half excited, half just terrified.
It's a one-man show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
Well, I did the work in progress run of it, so I've done the show like a handful of times. It's scary, but it's very rewarding.
Yeah.
Exhilarating.
Exhilarating.
Yeah, but it's just so much to organise. It's like you have a to-do list and it just gets longer faster than you can do that.
Like,
I don't think you can be prepared for the fringe.
And it says here, it's a grimy, booze-fueled sucker punch of a play, bound to make you laugh until you cry. So that's like the best.
Yeah, I drink all the way through it.
You actually drink all the way?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're going to have such a hangover.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
They do that, didn't they?
They were in last week.
Were they?
Shit-faced Shakespeare, yeah.
They're a bit lucky, though, because it's just one of them, isn't
it? Yeah, they only
pick
one.
Whereas I'm doing it every show. So I'm going to be basically drunk for just the entirety of August.
I'm going to drink water tonight instead of vodka. I'm just going to switch them around. Can you not do that?
I could, but I'm cracking cans open.
A bit of water with vinegar in.
It makes it better anyway, you know.
You sound
worried for me.
I'm worried for your liver.
Yeah.
We're not like the biggest of drinkers.
We're not.
Are you not?
I had a couple of gins last night, right? Thinking I was hardcore. I can't handle drink anymore.
It's getting tougher for me as well.
Like I'm 26. Like what's going on?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
When I was younger, I used to get hammered and wake up and be fine. And then it got a bit tougher. And now it's just horrendous.
Oh, gosh, the end of the show. 27.
But the show's in the middle of the day.
Oh, wow, getting pissed in the middle of the day.
And it doesn't really hit you until after you've done it.
Yeah.
Because it's all, you're down in drinks for an hour. So when you finish, then it kind of hits you. So I reckon I can just like sleep it off in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You can also do, you could do a cheeky pretend swig.
Yeah.
I definitely cheat it. Like I don't finish every single can because there's a lot. There's a lot of cans going on.
My gosh.
Yeah, you must have like a proper budget then for alcohol.
They're probably the cheapest thing about taking a show to the fridge.
Yeah. To be fair.
Do you know what's really good though? Milk thistle. It's really good for cleansing your liver.
Milk thistle.
Mm. What is that?
What is that?
I have no idea. It's the milk of a thistle.
It sounds like something in Lord of the Rings.
No, you can get it from all suitable pharmacies and chemists and health shops. But yeah, no, it's
really
good.
Are you sponsored by milk thistle?
It's really
a cheesy
good
plug
to cleanse your liver. I think I've heard some of it anyway, and your kidneys and stuff. So
I'll write it down.
It
sounds like it's from a movie, doesn't it?
I'll have her. You need like the feather of the phoenix and the milk thistle.
Milk thistle. Oil of milk thistle. Yeah. Don't really like milk or thistle. So
Can't say I've eaten a thistle.
And so with your rehearsal process, is it you and the director?
Pretty much. It's just us two producing the whole show. And obviously, like, raising money for Edinburgh is, like, a nightmare.
Yeah.
So we're basically in the park just doing it in the park because the weather's so nice. Yeah. It's just me.
Wow. Getting and, drunk in the park, basically.
Yeah, I don't drink during
there isn't really
like
a director.
You yeah, plan it all out meticulously and then get shit-faced and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but wow. We just literally get some string and some pegs and mark it out on the floor.
Amazing.
And that's my stage and we just get cracking with it.
Wow.
In true Fringe style, yeah.
Yeah.
And before Trashed and sort of, what are you thinking much after Trashed? At the moment it's all just about this show.
Yeah, I mean it sort of takes over your life. It's hard to think about what to do after Edinburgh. I mean we'd love to like tour the show, bring it, do a proper run in London and things like that. But at the minute it's just Edinburgh is so much. It's just
it's quite full on, isn't it?
Oh, even though I
are you gonna, like, go, gonna go on holiday after it?
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna have to lie down for about 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is the preview? Where did you start with your acting? Like, did you always know, oh, I want to act?
Oh, no, I went into acting really late.
Okay.
I did a load of random stuff first, and then at 26, I was like, oh, I'm going to go off and be an actor now.
Boom.
And went off to New York for almost 4 years.
Oh, did it in style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to drama school there.
Right, wow. Okay,
and
yeah.
And then I came back and started being an actor.
What did you do before that?
Before
an actor.
Oh, God, all sorts.
Were you a bin man?
No.
No. Darn.
Yeah, just like 5 years of method. No. I was a professional rugby player, actually, first. And then I went off to uni and got pissed for about 4 years and got a rubbish third. And then I was in a beatboxing group for a while. And then...
As a job?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Can you imagine on your car insurance form? What are you? Beatboxer.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been a bit random. My whole life's been a bit random. And then, I just thought I'd give acting a bash. So I went off and did a summer course and then just fell in love with it and then studied for like the whole. Mm. Yeah.
And is theatre your main thing or would you like to do more
film? I prefer theatre. Like, I like the live thing.
Yeah.
You know, I like the thrill of like the do or die, especially when it's just you doing a one-person show. The thing that terrifies me the most is skipping. Because if you accidentally skip to the end, the show is like 5 minutes long. Like, that's the only thing that scares me, you know?
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I would literally, but don't worry, all you can do then is you can just like do like little rewind and be like,
it probably would become abstract at that point.
Yeah, some like really weird piece where
you
it's
start
like,
with the end.
It isn't linear. Ooh, what is life? Ooh, boom, mic drop. Out.
I feel like no one would notice in Edinburgh.
Exactly,
anyway.
Everyone would just be like,
great concept. I love it.
I mean, I have shot stuff, but it's just, if you muck it up, you just do it again. So it's not much of a thrill.
Yeah, no, I get that. Do you know, it's a bit slower as well, TV and film and stuff, isn't it?
And I think each actor's, like, their sort of energy matches a certain medium. And I'm always, when I'm on camera, they're always like, do less.
Obviously,
like, bring it down. So on stage.
My life.
You know? Mm-hmm. Whereas some people find it hard to sort of become bigger on stage, you know. So I think I just feel more comfortable on stage generally.
I'm stuck. I'm of that party, but I love film.
Yeah.
So I keep trying to be on camera and being massive on camera.
Yeah.
So whatever, it's fine. But it's kind of awkward if you're auditioning for like Downton Abbey and you're just like coming into bursting into the room.
I just try and do nothing basically.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's like that horrible. There is a fine line between wooden.
Yes, and doing
and
nothing.
Completely over the top.
For me. Yeah, I'm exactly the same. And generally, I'm more that side of the spectrum.
So
over
are you actors then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hello.
This is just like okay.
We're actors who make comedy sketches for like online, like a YouTuber, Facebooker.
Oh, great.
Blah, 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 blah. I say YouTube, even though I'm not really on YouTube because that's what people understand what it is. But
right.
People don't really know what Facebooker is, but I work on
Facebook. I have no idea what that is. But.
Basically, we make our own content, make our own sketch ideas, little mini short scenes, films, and put them out. And there is an audience there. And with the goal to get into mainstream.
Right.
That's what we do. I feel like I'm in an interview. Oh, no. No.
Having a chat, aren't we?
Who's conducting the interview here?
We can show you on TV and then we can be in your show. Like, what? Amazing. So if you have just tuned in, we're talking about Trashed, essentially, which is going to be at the Underbelly Festival. Not festival. The Underbelly
It's a venue, so it's it has multiple parts in Edinburgh. We're at Cowgate, which is one part of the Underbelly. They have various bits in Edinburgh.
626 Cowgate, it says here on the PR.
Yes.
And the show is trashed, and it is all about a bin man struggling to deal with the death of his daughter whilst struggling with his thirst for booze.
Yep.
So it's Keith.
It's his real life.
Good name, Keith.
Yeah, Keith Goody. Goody's his nickname. Ooh. It's Keith Goodman. Mm.
Keith Goody.
Yeah. Keith Goodman. Good name. Mm. Keith. I can see Keith being a bin man.
It's very working. It's set in Yorkshire. It's very working class.
Yeah. You
know, it's very grimy.
Yeah.
He's grimy.
Sounds
Everything
good.
Smells.
It's like Shameless.
Booze flying around. Yeah, it's kind of got that
it's
sort
got
of raw feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm loving it. So, guys, check it out. Make sure you go to @FooBarRadio because we're going to be tweeting all about the show as well, so you can go and chase it down. Maddie did ask before if you would be up for shouting out her show at Edinburgh. So she'll shout out yours and you shout out
hers. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, because you're going to be performing at the same time.
I must have missed her. I think she just like ran away, didn't she?
Yeah.
But yeah, like tweet her and definitely.
Brilliant! Yeah, aww. Love it when everyone collabs together because then you guys can just share your audiences.
Boom, yeah, exactly.
Boom, 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 boom. Exactly. So all the best of luck for Edinburgh. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
That's a not a problem. I'm just having a little look now of what we can, what we're going to go for. Oh, this is called Flexin' by Roomsy. So let's give this a go. It's Back Row and Chill.
24/7, I be flexing all day, every day. I be flexing. 24/7, I be flexing all day, every day. I be flexing. I don't nay, your cut shapes, all I do is dab. I can't be broke, that ain't me, so I'm chasing cash. Ain't talking money, better dashing, I ain't dealing with that. Cause the fans, they be loving my tunes, and the fans, they be loving my tracks. And I'm active, and I'm hungry for that money, and ain't no, I don't deal with no best friends, call me, I only do bros. Now I be getting bookings, and I be shutting out shows. I be putting my town on, and that's Woodlands, and ain't no. I'm merely working every day, I'm dabbing every day. All the raw G's be around me, till a fake boy on my face. I'm merely working every day, I'm dabbing every day. All the raw G's be around me, till a fake boy on my face. 24/7, I be flexing. All day, every day, I be flexing. 24/7, I be flexing. All day, every day, I be flexing. Summertime, I be cruising. Getting money, I do this. Stop trying to chat like a smart when really you're just stupid. I ain't in on no mix up, so Romsey, I keep it moving. I ain't in on no trap things, so let me just stick to my music. I mash up the beat, I mash up the beat. You can say I left it with bruises. They used to say that I'm whack, now they say I'm improving. Over here we be winning, ever we losing. He was talking at quick time, had to mute him. I'm merely working every day, I'm dabbing every day. All the raw G's be around me, till a fake boy on my face. I'm merely working every day, I'm dabbing every day. All the raw G's be around me, till a fake boy on my face. 24/7 I be flexing. All day, every day I be flexing. 24/7 I be flexing. All day, every day I be flexing. 24/7 I be flexing. All day, every day I be flexing. 24/7 I be flexing. All day, every day I be flexing.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Free.
5 o'clock. We're into the second half of Back Row and Chill.
It's gone quick,
hasn't it? Time flies
when you're having fun.
Amazing. We are one, basically.
We are one. We are the same person. I do worry.
I think, yeah. We've got our third guest in the studio, so a huge welcome to Gabriel Gonzalez. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I feel like I need to get like a massive applause button so that it's a little bit more than my...
It would make me feel better about myself.
Sorry. Well, what about this then? We have Gabriel Gonzalez in the studio. That, is that a bit
excellent.
Better?
I can't wait to share that to my mum.
Brilliant. Available on iTunes. It genuinely is after the show. So a huge welcome. We are going to be chit-chatting today about the web series that you have created, because it is pretty fucking good.
Thank you.
So do you want to pitch it? You say what it's about, because you're going to obviously way better than me.
Yeah, why not? It's based about the contemporary dating culture of London. We were trying to do an episodic show touching on several unique and maybe unseen characters and drawing from situations that aren't so typical of that world. And then it all taps into this sort of like peculiar fabric and tapestry of what it is to actually date in London, and draws in on characters and their dilemmas outside of dating and how that affects them trying to find love, etc. And we, I feel like we came up with something really sincere and honest on the topic.
And it's very, it's my understanding is it's episodic, as in each episode sort of follows a...
Yeah, it's quite contained. You do bump into or brush into a character from a preceding episode or a preceding episode. So you do see the familiar faces every so often. And, you know, the situations can vary from being quite funny or distressing or embarrassing or awkward, which I think we all... find dating.
Wait, all
yeah, yeah.
So a bit like Love Actually-esque, in the sense that there's like loads of different stories, and the characters kind of can cross-contaminate a little bit.
Yeah, they operate in the same world. I think the point of doing that was is that because everyone is so, you know, without being, self-centred, everyone is so involved with their own situation.
For sure.
And I think to brush into another character in the show is to sort of say, well, we don't really know how much we haven't realised how much we have in common with the other person.
We're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. I'd liken it to a show that was on Netflix recently called Easy. It's like a Joe Swanberg show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was great. And when it came out, I was like, oh, no, they've copied our idea. But
damn it!
Damn it. Their budget is a million times more than ours. How dare you, Netflix? You've defeated me again. But that's a good one to check out as well, if you're into that sort of thing.
Mm. And so how did it come about? Because I think it is such a huge achievement nowadays to get any project off the ground and get legs and run with it. So how did you get it from, like, I have an idea, to Here it is.
In front of a small screen, yeah. So I'm part of a collective of filmmakers called G59.
Okay.
We're people that met in film and TV industries and advertising when we were sort of in junior positions. Mm-hmm. And some of us are still in junior positions, including myself. And then from then on, that's five people. So if you think about years of working together and meeting people and meeting like-minded people and coercing them and flirting them into helping you out on a project, you can actually go quite far with what is, you know, a skeletal crew and minimal kit. And if you're a bit more daring as well with how you, let's say, access locations.
Guerrilla.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. Like, I'm actually not used to anything but like being chucked on a tube and running off it.
Yeah.
I shot a feature in London where they got confused with the licensing of because there's City of London and then there's like Central London.
Right. Yeah.
And they got the wrong thing, so they couldn't. So anyway, we were trying to film, and every time the police came, we just all run in different directions.
Yeah,
classic.
I've done that a few times. It was a big one. We're filming on an estate and like literally we got chucked off and we're halfway through a shot, so we had to do a night shoot to reshoot it on an old abandoned estate. There were heroin addicts like coming out of like the flats and stuff, and we had to get security and everything, but I mean it ended up being much better than the one we kept getting chucked off at. But whew.
Well done. For
scary
getting,
times.
Yeah.
See, like, that's why you need
it's
insurance.
For the art.
Yeah. Do it for the gram. But this is, I mean, I haven't seen, I saw the trailer on Vimeo, and I saw, like, an extended trailer of one of the episodes. Where, if people are like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm down for watching this series.
Where
and how can they?
Well, I mean, it's being hosted on Vimeo, where it's, you can find links to that on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on all of it for G59 TV. You just type in. We're also on a web series hosting community called Stareable, which is something a bit more specialised in trying to reach out to people who are fans of web series. And I'd recommend if people are looking for, you know, short bites of stories and narratives and series like that, it's a great place to start. But we are pretty widespread. There's five of us constantly plugging it. And
okay, so it is available. Are all episodes out?
Just the first episode for now. Okay. The second episode is out on Tuesday. And that's one where we do, again, very guerrilla on the tubes of London and pubs of Camden. It's not quite the estates. We got it done, yeah.
And so did you, it says that you're the creator. So did you write?
Yeah, I wrote what would eventually become the first series. I did come up with the idea, and I said to the crew, this would be great. I think it fits our voice and what we're trying to say. I feel like if we could also get it made quite easily if we tailor the stories in this sense. And then we invited a bunch of writers, and with the aim of inviting other directors and new actors to sort of expand the network. But somehow only my episodes ended up getting made for the first series. So I don't know how I engineered that. I don't know how that came about.
Are they based on real life experiences?
Is anyone going to see there like, that happened to me?
I know him, that happened.
Wait a minute, I went on a date with that guy. Yeah. Yeah. It was awful. fortunately, it's not too close to home. I think when writing, it's always good fun to sort of take a departure from your life. It does come from sort of conversations and, you know, chit-chatting with friends and catching up about their experiences. I think there's one episode which you can closely lift, but it didn't end. The one which Ozzy's in, actually, the first episode, Elias, is like they go on a skate date.
Yeah.
Where he takes a girl in, meets a girl, and they go and he teaches her how to skate in the streets of Hampstead. And that was something that happened to me, but it ended quite positively, actually. It was quite a nice experience, whereas Ozzy's or Elias's experience in the
didn't
episode,
go well.
Not a great end to his experience in skate dates.
Yeah, did you get hit in the balls as well? Or
no, luckily I was. I'm not as risky as Elias is. It's very much from getting A to B with me on a skateboard. So.
Oh, amazing. I really like, and like the look of it. I mean, if you did it, I'm not sure what your budget was, but it looks so professional. Like, you know, when you get kind of like a startup web series, there is an element of you're kind of expecting it to be a little bit DIY.
Yeah.
But this does not look DIY.
Oh, great. Thank you.
It looked like beautifully shot.
That means a lot. Thank
Whoever
you.
Your DIP was, like, keep employing them.
Yeah, definitely.
They were
really
good.
We used a host of them, and it was a budget of really, like, sort of less, like, hundreds. It's like one episode would be for like 50 quid.
Oh, wow.
What camera did you use?
We use a very, like, a couple of cameras actually. We use a Sony FS700 with an external Audacy recorder, which sort of amps up the quality in that respect for a couple of episodes. We used a 5D, I think, for another, and a Sony AS7, another tiny little camera, which is quite tricky to tame when you go handheld. But yeah, a variety of cameras and really talented crew.
Yeah,
well.
Wow.
I think that this is going to tap in. This particular web series is called All of Them, if you're just listening in now. So what we're talking about, we're listening about All of Them, which is on Vimeo.
Vimeo, Facebook. Yeah, actually,
it's a web series about the ups and downs and ins and outs of dating in London, which I think is one of the most relatable things ever. Because if you are of a, you know, finding a partner age, unless you are someone who is a bit, like, asexual, everybody, you have to go through the dating stage. If you want to find a partner, you got to, like, try out some people.
Yeah.
So it's the most relatable thing ever.
I'd be so terrible dating.
I am terrible dating.
How do you, like, because I've been with my other half for, like, 4 years, and they're, like, the idea of having to find someone, like, this Tinder
starting
thing
again. Oh, geez.
Like the online thing.
No!
Like, do people even meet in pubs anymore? Like, what's going on?
Well, I ended a few years ago, I came out of a 4-year relationship and I was single for the first time. Yeah. And I was literally like, I don't even know where to start. Like, what do I do? And I had this, like, solid year of being single. And I actually, the experiences that I had were so horrific / hilarious / I need to write this down because this is brilliant.
It's
a shame it's my life, but it's brilliant. And I think that everyone can relate, and that's why it's something that I'm like keen to use in more of my own content, is my own experiences of, because if you can't laugh about it, like, what can you do? But like, there's a point where on dates with, like, people that I was looking for cameras because I thought, this is a setup,
this can't be real.
The one time I ever went, I'll just digress for one short story. The one time I ever decided to go on a blind date.
Oh, no.
So, like, I didn't know the guy from Adam. Oh. He approached my Facebook and messaged me and said, I'd love to take you for dinner. And I was like, you know what? You don't look like a crazy person, so why not? And then, met up with him. And, I knew the date was going to go badly when I got there and was like, so where are we going? And he was like, I don't know, where do you want to go? I was like,
oh,
you
great.
Always have a plan. Always have a plan.
So he was like, I'm not from London, so I don't really know anywhere. And I was like, well, I'll show you somewhere then. So then we go, and then we're like getting into the dinner, and it's one of those people that just can't decide anything. What do you want? I don't know. What are you having? Oh my
for
God.
For God's sake.
But then,
take the reins, why don't you?
I know. I was like, who's driving? Okay. And then he starts to, you know, midway through sort of a conversation, I said, oh, let's go to Soho. Soho might be nice area. And he went, oh, no, not... my dad said never go near Soho. I was like, why? He was like, because of the gays. And I was like, right!
Okay, goodbye!
Straight away!
Good night, weirdo.
And, and then a tranny walked past at that point. And he went, ugh! And I went, I think she looks amazing. And then I was like, this is not gonna work.
Like,
I was
like a twat.
But for the fact that I think this might make an amazing blog post / movie one day, I'm gonna like stay. So we had some dinner. And then through the dinner,
you braved it. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, because at this point, I was like,
it's a story.
I was like, this is a story.
It's a web series.
This is going to be like an Oscar at some days. But then we were having, and I nearly spat my wine out because he said, a racist thing. I don't know if I can say it on the radio. I think I can. Anyway, he called someone a racist thing. And I went, excuse me, what? And I said, you do realise that he started talking about how he didn't like people from the Middle East. And I said, wow. And he goes, oh, but I do like the film Four Lions, though. That's what he said. And I was like, wait.
Forgiven.
I was like, you do understand that Indian people and Middle Eastern people are two completely different races, because you just used a racial slur for one and then referred to the other. So I don't think. And then he went, no, we're going to have an argument here. They're the same. I was like, oh, okay. Can I have a little? And then, so I ducked out. I was like, good night to you, sir. So he was homophobic, racist, and didn't have like any kind of.
And was a pansy.
What, a complete pansy. Yeah. Like, it could not have gone worse. Plus, he was not 6 foot like his profile said. I'm just saying. He was at least 4 inches shorter than that.
Oh, well.
It was,
sorry you went through that, but great story.
You ever been on a blind date?
Not a blind date, but going back to the tour thing, the first thing I said to sort of a person I was meeting for the first time when I met them was, I'm sorry I'm not taller, because she was taller than me. She found that endearing, but
I've gone out with people who are shorter than me.
It wasn't like I was lying about my height. It was just like a realisation that neither of us thought to check.
Well, I'm 5'4", so if they're shorter than me, I'd be like,
You'd be like,
you can be taller than that.
How old are you?
Saying that, I went on a blind date. Well, it wasn't blind. I'd met him the night before, but I was wasted. And then I ended up going on a date with him the next day because I was single. And I got there, didn't remember what he looked like, which is really awful. Don't do that, children. We got there. He had planned everything out. And he was like kitted out in a suit. And I was like, I don't remember you looking like this. I was in my 20s. He was 60.
Oh, my word.
I left. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I did that thing where I pretended somebody had rang, and you're like, they're doing the movies and you don't think it's ever going to happen, and it doesn't happen. But I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I've got to go.
This is crazy.
My kitten needs to be told about. I'm sorry. Goodbye. Oh my goodness. Well, anyway, so the point is that dating is one of the most relatable, horrific, heart wrenching. Funny things that we all have to do, and we all have to also dip back into it. We never know when we're gonna, because you're in a relationship and you never know quite when that's gonna maybe end or not.
Oh my god, be prepared. Yeah,
exactly. So I would never say be like, oh, dating game's far behind me, because you might one day find that you've got to do it again. So all of them.
Very positive message. Yes. There. You're in a relationship, but for how long?
You never know. Realism.
Have you watched the show? It might make you think twice about not being in a relationship. Yeah. I can't be bothered with this. This is crazy, the madness going
on. But all of them, which is on Vimeo, first episode up, it was amazing. Thank you very much, Gabriel, for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been brilliant. I've been playing songs today that are that I like from like my favourite movies or Netflix shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go for a bit of Riverdale.
Have
you seen that movie? It's not a movie. It's a series. Oh my God, it's all for you. It's on Netflix.
Thank you. I will take it. Called Riverdale. I will take that and I will do it.
It's brilliant. This is Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Thank you so much. This is Back Row and Chill.
Oh, honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Honey, oh, sugar, sugar, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting. Of loving you,
I just can't believe it's true.
I just can't believe the wonder of this feeling too.
I just can't believe it's true.
Ah, sugar.
Robinson, it's Kent Jones. And usually I like to be in the front, but right now this is Back Row and Chill.
So sexy. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Kent Jones. We've got a competition for you guys. So if you want to win free shit, listen up. It's at FUBAR Radio. You've got to head over to the Twitter and just make sure you're following us and then retweet our pinned tweet for a chance to win. We're about to start the competition now. You can win a whole shed load of Baby Driver merchandise. So we've got sunglasses in a case, a barrel bag, earphones, of course, and audio trailer vinyl.
Ooh.
It's all to do with the new, brand new movie Baby Driver, which is out in the cinemas at the moment. Go check it out. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, really,
so if you want to win that, just go to FUBAR and retweet the Twitter shit. And, you know.
Can I do it?
I think you can. Yeah, I'm not allowed. But go on.
Go on then, cheeky.
I'd love that. Oh, a barrel bag.
Oh, I'd love a barrel bag.
Is that those ones that are like barrel shaped, I'm assuming?
I believe so.
It's not a rucksack, is it?
Or it's just a barrel.
That has a handle.
Yeah. Oversized, it's all the fashion.
Can you imagine? Yeah, brilliant. Okey-dokey. So let us know, and we'll be announcing the winner later on. So that's really cool. We've got Lucy Patterson, our resident film reviewer, coming up in just a sec. We're going to be telling you what's hot and what's not with the latest film releases, or what's on Netflix, Amazon,
all that jazz,
or TV, I guess, as well. That old thing,
that old thing,
sits in the corner of your room and gets dust on it now. Probably,
yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
I really don't watch anything on like terrestrial TV.
No,
kind of,
I don't
anymore.
Think many people do. It's dying a death.
It is dying a death. Mm. To be fair,
it is.
There was a thing saying that. Subscription things like Netflix and Amazon, they are going to be taking in, by the year 2020, they'll be taking in more revenue than the film industry.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's all going online, baby.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where you got to put your eggs. That's where I'm putting my eggs. Put them all online. Joke's on me. What if the internet just like becomes extinct in 5 years? I'd be like, shit.
Damn!
Back to the good old theatre in the barn. Street theatre.
Oh, yes. Busking.
Why not? Why the flip not? Remember, guys, if you want to get involved in today's show, please let us know your reviews as well. So if there is anyone out there that has seen something they absolutely loved and they want to tell other people, just tweet us at FUBAR Radio. We'll shout you out. Or you can email into the show, chill@fubarradio.com. Let us know what was good or what was really shit as well, because I don't want to go and spend my money seeing something that's awful. Mm. Or, you know, or maybe there's something like hidden amongst the whole interface of Netflix that I haven't found yet.
Because,
you know, it tends to be the same stuff that just comes up, but there's actually thousands and thousands of titles.
Right. And do you know what? Trying to find something to watch on Netflix is a really tricky situation.
It's overwhelming
in our house,
isn't it?
There's too much choice.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm sat there and I'm just like, you decide, I don't know. And then he'll put something on, like, no, I don't want to watch this. I'm not in the mood for this.
I know what I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
And but I don't know what I do want to watch.
Totally. Totally. So we spend about half an hour trying to find something, and then we're like, oh, should we just go to bed? Let's go to bed.
You just
good night.
YouTube it. All right, YouTube it. It's quicker. Yeah, exactly. I've been doing my research. I like to go away and be a bit nerdy, and I like to go and find my movie trivia of the week. So let's go get Lucy Patterson, and then we'll come back and have a bit of movie trivia / film review time. This is Back Row and Chill.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
We have, I would go so far as to say, Love Island royalty on the phone now, Callie Jane Beach.
And what did you feel of the Sarah Holland situation when she got her crown taken off her?
There was a lot that went on behind the scenes, what people didn't know about, and she knew that if that was to happen, she would have been decrowned, and this was all in discussion before Zara went in. She knew what was going to happen if she did.
But do you feel that sometimes emotions get carried away and you have a drink and you...
Yeah, I suppose a tiny bit, but you don't get much alcohol to get pissed in there, let's be honest. And they look like a bloody porn set when you walk in. There's cameras everywhere.
Every Thursday, Access All Areas. From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Boom. You are listening to Fubar Radio, but you're listening to Back Row and Chill at the moment. And Lucy Patterson has arrived. Oh, bang on time.
Yeah.
Bang on time. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
We're going to be doing a little bit of film reviews and chit-chat about that.
Lovely.
So, yeah, get involved, people. As I said, tweet us if you want to get involved with us. What have people been seeing this week and what have they... thought about it.
Well, as I know what you've seen this week, so I didn't bother going to see that.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, find something that's not massively huge and everyone's made a big deal about. It came out today. It's called It Comes at Night. It's like a horror thriller mystery.
Poster.
Yeah, it's got Joel Edgerton in it and Riley Keough. And it's basically... what I thought of it when it finished was like, that was The Walking Dead without zombies. It's that sort of thing. It's like a post-apocalyptic, which I know you quite... you quite like, don't you?
Yeah.
I think you could handle this one.
Okay.
It's not like gore, people's heads being chopped off and all that shit.
Okay, I can't do that.
It's a real mystery and it's a slow burner.
Okay.
And the end sort of had me a bit, like, I wish you could see my face. It was itching like, eh? What was that? You know. But it was, like, imagine that noise, like the face that goes with them. But yeah, I really liked it. The performances were amazing.
Okay.
And it didn't really go... down the route you think it's going to go. Joel Edgerton and his family are survivors of this, whatever's happening. I don't think they really know. Mm. It's only based in their house and in the woods around it. And it's him, his son and his wife. Someone breaks into the house. It turns out it's a younger man and he's got his wife and his child sort of 50 miles away and he's trying to find food for them. And Joel Edgerton, out of the goodness of his heart, after he gives them a really hard time, takes them into his home and says, okay, let's all survive together.
Mm.
And it just turns to shit. But not in the way you think it would. And I think that was genius. You know, like I said, it is a slow burner. But if you like a mystery and you like a real thinker, and it will make you jump a lot.
That's fine.
And I was all on my own, actually, this morning. And then just as it started, someone else walked in and I was like, thank fuck for that. I was about to leave. You know. But yeah, go and see it if you like that sort of thing. If you like being scared just a little bit without being grossed out. It Comes at Night.
It comes at night.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Do you know, when I saw Paranormal Activity, I was at uni. I had to get my we all stayed in the same room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
for all of uni.
Amen. It's like that in the sense that I don't know about you, but with Paranormal Activity, I was watching it going, oh, this is really boring. And then when she gets dragged off of that bed by her feet, game changer. And it's actually making
hairs
stand up on my head now.
Well.
You know, it's that sort of thing. All of a sudden, it's just like, shit, scary.
Oh, no, I didn't even approach. I saw...
you know what, I'm getting really frightened.
I know.
I saw Conjuring 2 by accident.
Johanna.
It was a complete accident that I
That's
saw.
That's a bad accident because that is the one film that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And not a lot scares me.
I saw The Conjuring 2. It was a... wow. It was a prank played on me by the Wall of Comedy Boys. Cheers,
guys. I remember you saying that, bastards.
Yeah, I thought I was going to see Suicide Squad and I was already locked in the cinema.
Whoa.
And they played Conjuring 2.
That is so cruel.
That is nasty. Mm.
The footage is really funny, though. It's me basically making sick noises and doing like ninja moves. Like, it's all right. And ended up weirdly being like a weird sort of first date with my boyfriend.
Oh, brilliant.
But whatever.
I like her.
I was just going to say
I like
that.
Her moves.
I like this. I like this one. I'll have that.
He digged it. It was fine. Yeah. But what did I see this week? So, I went to... oh, I know. I've been checking out a lot on Netflix.
Have you?
Because there's a big, huge influx of Netflix stuff that's popped up, including The Circle, which is Tom Hanks and Emma Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it was Netflix. I thought it was going to be a cinema release. I was waiting for it for the cinema.
Yeah.
And it suddenly popped up on my Netflix. And I went, oh, okay. And I really wanted to like it. The trailer was like it's kind of parodying I think Apple and Google. So it's basically this huge company called The Circle, where basically that's where they're parodying like a kind of Apple Google thing.
Right.
And Emma Watson gets a job in the sort of customer services, so she's low level, but she joins The Circle, and it's about how it all seems super super rosy, it's more corrupt than. More layered, you go in there, and so that was it wasn't really as good as which is Yeah.
Maybe why, you know, I know Netflix originals don't really go down the cinema route, but maybe that's why.
Well, I was wondering whether it was a cinema one that kind of didn't take off and then maybe. Netflix took it because it
straight to DVD.
Because yeah.
It was on Apple trailers ages really? Ago. So it made me think it was a cinema release because I've never seen an Apple trailer for a Netflix original. So I thought maybe there was some sort of deal cut.
Maybe.
Because it didn't get a distribution. Yeah. But my problem was Emma Watson's American accent.
Yep. But I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for it.
Yeah. And which I was trying not to be bothered about it. But then even my boyfriend went, God, that's awful, isn't it?
And it's
I was
under like, your skin, yeah. things like that, doesn't
and
it?
He, yeah. And he was like, kind of can't take anymore. And yeah. I was like, okay. Tom Hanks was brilliant. He played the kind of like...
my yeah.
Isn't he just lovely?
He played like the brilliant. Steve Jobs type
yeah.
guy, which was just brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the concept of the movie was... freakishly close to home, especially as someone who works in social media.
Yeah.
So the idea of the film is that there's these new cameras that you can get, which you can just kind of clip on, and it makes cameras have got better and smaller and whatever, and it links up to your Circle account, which links everything in your life is then on in one place.
Yeah.
But it gets scary, like even like you're registering to vote, or even your Ooh. Everything, your bills, your Pretty medical, much. Everything goes in yeah. just one social media account, mm. the Circle. Mm. And you can wear these cameras, and it's called Going Transparent, where basically you vlog 24 hours a day to show that. But basically, they were saying crime rates will go down because if you're always being watched, you're always
24
aware.
Hours a day.
Yeah.
So like on the toilet and stuff like that.
Well, you get 3 minutes
in the bedroom.
Wait, just having a poo. Yeah. Hold on.
You get 3 minutes bathroom privacy where it will go out for three right. minutes.
What about you know?
Yeah.
I think actually you can switch it off when you're asleep, but there is a scene. There is a thing where they deal with the whole sort of like. Having sex issue.
Yeah.
And it made me think so Emma Watson becomes this kind of like global superstar because she's like vlogging every day and she's transparent and she wakes up and she's got millions and billions of followers and stuff and it's kind of how she starts off as a bit of a rookie and ends up being a little bit taken in by
I don't
this
see
world.
That she has the personality this is terrible I don't see that she has the personality to be able to play a character like that.
No, she didn't.
And I feel like she... exactly. And I feel like she's just riding on her name now.
Oh, for sure. Like,
it's such a shame.
What was really annoying was, like, the role is actually amazing and the story arc would have been really good.
For somebody else.
But she didn't really change or go... It was just Emma
she
Watson.
She doesn't. She's so monotone and boring.
It was
I'm
Emma
sorry.
Watson the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, you know, as a storyline, you've got, like... girl entering a company being really awkward being the awkward loner girl
there's a lot of scope for it
yeah and yeah. then she ends up becoming the superstar and like it's kind of yeah there's kind of there was so much to play with and she yet again yeah. she didn't play with anything
well, I'm she'll probably get an award for it
you
though.
Didn't enjoy Beauty and the Beast then did you
I did enjoy Beauty did. And the Beast I just didn't enjoy Emma
didn't enjoy exactly. the auto-tune and
when she runs up, my first problem was when she ran up that hill and she was going, I want adventure. You know, the bit yeah. where Belle comes out and she's like spinning. She's got her arms up. She ran to the top of a hill and put her arms by her side and went, I want adventure. I was like, this is wrong.
Like, we've said almost
this
exactly
is,
that
this
on
is
this
exactly
show.
My review
and we were like, Johanna just should have done it.
Yes.
Fuck Emma Watson.
I was literally in the cinema because I want to be in the cinema and I want to be in a position where I'm so impressed by the person mm-hmm. that I go, fucking hell, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't have done that in a million years with all the training in the world. You know, bless you. But when I see someone's performance, I go, I could do that. Like, I shouldn't.
Why
be
am I sat in this seat while you're there?
I shouldn't be feeling that at all. No. And Emma and I was wriggling, trying to move. For her. Like,
come on.
I thought maybe if I move a bit more, she'll move a bit more. But it didn't work like that. And yeah, so I think the Circle. It's an interesting concept, but it's not like a brilliant movie. And it built itself up to a me. To me.
I saw it on Netflix and saw her face and just went scroll.
serious issues.
Scroll. So have you all seen anything, Sophie, this week that you'd like to review?
I finished watching Glow.
Yeah.
I still haven't started it yet.
Have
I'm
you
going
not?
To, yeah.
Oh, it's good.
I was just finishing Red Oaks and something else, so I'm going to do that next. That's on the
it
list.
It will change your life for the week.
I'm so excited.
I love that it's only 25 minutes long each episode.
I love ones like that.
But
as well.
I binged it.
Excellent. How many episodes?
Ten.
oh my God, I'll have that done by Monday.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
And I legit like Googled spandex wear on eBay because I was inspired.
I just wanted some high rise leotards.
I know. I was just like, everything just needs to go up.
I need to just wear a thong all the time
hair
and leg warmers.
Yeah.
It's very call on me.
Yeah. It really is. And I'm in love with not only the acting, the comedy, the story, but also just the design. Whoever it's set in, like 1984 or whatever.
It's spot on, isn't
and
it?
And it's absolutely, they have like spent so much effort making every, and it's not like an attempt to be 80s or an ode to 80s. It is the 80s.
Yeah, sometimes you find they just bung a couple of Sergio Cicchini tracksuits on people and go, yes, it's the 80s.
Yeah, but it's
and
not.
You think, really, it's not. That's
no,
a poor
it's just
effort.
So
everything. The hair,
from what
everything.
I've seen of the promo shots and things, it looks really like authentic.
It's authentic.
Yeah. It's just really fun as well. Yeah. Have you seen Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you feel it, don't you? Yeah. You still feel that that's the same
and
writing.
It's
the same gritty, like, female-powered, like, it's great. I love it.
And it's not... it is not like a, because it looked like it could be quite a plasticky show, but it's really gritty. Like, there's the girls are getting topless. There's lots of sort
of boobs.
Yeah, there's boobs. Like in the first episode, within
tits
the first 10 minutes, Alison Brie
excellent.
Gets her tits out.
Lovely.
And you know, and I think from that moment you go, okay, I can take this seriously.
Yeah, this is not what I thought it was.
Yeah, this isn't a
That's
silly
good.
Show.
Yeah,
this is,
yeah.
As soon as you see a tit, there we go.
This is raw. This is
game
real.
Game changer. Yeah.
Oscar. But super brilliant show. So I'm kind of want to watch it again.
It's
can't
great.
Wait for series two. They need to make the episodes a bit longer though, I think, because I want to sit there more.
You know, when it ended, I was like, where's the next episode? Where is it? Like,
oh, I hate that.
It's that anger, isn't it?
And I was like, that's it. That can't be it.
I had that with Riverdale. I watched the finale not realising it was finale. And I was like, just go to the next. No!
Yeah! I wish I'd invested a little bit more time in that.
I wasn't focusing.
I actually watched like the penultimate one thinking it was the finale. Tweeted him and everything going, what am I supposed to do? My Friday's now, blah, blah, blah. Came in here and Johanna went, oh, you know the bit when blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, is this a secret episode?
Secret episode. Right, and I'm trying to think of the other series that I was also loving, which was...
Is it Netflix as well?
No, I'm just for some music, because I've got a little song to play.
Ah.
But I can't remember which show I got this from now. No, it's Selena Gomez, so I think it's...
It's probably 13 Reasons Why.
So it's probably 13 Reasons Why. No, it's not.
No?
I actually think this is also from Baby Driver.
Oh, brilliant.
Selena, I'm not really surprised that Selena Gomez was on that. You can correct me, anybody, if this is wrong. But
Edgar, if you're listening, correct her.
Please, yeah, go on.
Sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Wright. I may have got it wrong. Okay, so this is Same Old Love by Selena Gomez. And then we're going to come back because I have got some more stuff on Netflix that I think you guys should
excellent.
Definitely check. Because one of them has changed my life to the point where I have now become a vegetarian. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited
have you?
To hear about
so
this.
I'm gonna- you've joined the club! Oh, welcome. We have t-shirts.
Do you have mugs? We have mugs.
Okay,
I will tell you all about why this movie changed
excellent.
My life just after this little song by Selena Gomez. Okay, here we go.
Wasting tonight on you. so sick of that phone. I'm so sick of that same old love. That shit, it tears me up. I'm so sick of that same old love. My body's had enough. That same old love. That same old love. I'm so sick of that same old love. Feels like I've blown a curve. I'm so sick of that same old love. The kind that breaks your heart.
I wish I could sing like Selena Gomez.
Yeah,
you can. Same old love.
She just whispers everything.
That's very true, actually.
Bad liar.
Oh my god, we have a Selena Gomez impersonator in the building. Brilliant. Guys. Sophie Craig. It's Sophie Craig on all social media. Right, so before we were just having a bit of a film review, and I was saying that I saw a film on Netflix that affected me to a point where it changed something in my life, and it was true. I saw the film Okja. It's a very weird title, but it should be one of the main things they're pushing at the moment on the top of the Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's spelled OKJA, like Okja.
Okja.
And it's got Tilda Swinton in it. It's got Paul. Oh my gosh, I forgot his fucking name now.
I've forgotten as well. I watched about 5 minutes of it.
I think he's called like Paul Danos.
Paul Dano.
Dano,
yeah,
that's, yeah, yeah. The one, yeah, yeah. That's the one. That's the one. And it's this really unusual concept story about this fictional super pig that they've made. They've made this genetically modified animal, which is like this huge hippo slashed with a by a pig, and it's called a super pig. Mm. And they made 26 of them. They sent them to different farmers all over the world, and in 10 years time they're going to find the best pig, and that pig is going to be the kind of the show pig for all the world. Mm-hmm. And they're going to breed these super pigs in the millions and millions, and it's going to be the new cheap meat.
Yeah.
To replace other kind of farming. It's like save agriculture and stuff. So that's the concept of the movie. But what happens is that this little super pig gets sent to a farmer in Korea who has a little daughter like the same age, and they grow up together over those 10 years. And when it comes to picking the super pig called Okja, they pick her one. And she never understood that it was going to have to go away and be slaughtered.
God, I'm glad I didn't finish it.
And so the movie is the pig being taken, and this girl basically not taking no for an answer.
Excellent.
And she follows the pig to New York. Wow. She gets involved with a group of animal activists who are trying to kidnap the pig back, and it's all about her trying to save this pig's life. And it's just a really good, well-made movie. Tilda Swinton plays the owner of the kind of manufacturing company who wants to kill the pigs and
she's always
them.
Good.
So. Yeah, she's a good baddie. Mm. And it was just a really good movie. It's produced by Brad Pitt. So
Plan B, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's produced by Brad Pitt, and it was just a really good film. But the point is that it actually made me cry. And not many films do. Like, you know, if you made me cry. And it made me cry. Made my boyfriend cry. Sorry, disclosure. Yeah, you did cry. I saw you. It really affected us, because at the end of it gets to the point where she's got to save the pig last minute in the slaughterhouse in the abattoir.
Wow. God.
She's like racing through the abattoir to get to her.
That sounds horrific.
I just saw the kind of the other side. Even though it was a fictional movie, obviously everything that was in the movie was what kind of goes on in everyday abattoirs.
Every movie's got a message,
and,
isn't it?
Yeah, so this message was sort of like pigs have feelings too.
Yeah.
And a bit like the babe of the 90s movie.
Pigs are as intelligent, if not more intelligent than dogs.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that.
You know, well, yeah. So lovely.
Because they're just like, because someone
talks about ham.
You don't eat dogs, but
I can't. The film ended and I was like, oh my God, that was an amazing film. And then I was like, I literally can't stop thinking about some of the things that I saw. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's done a really good job, because I emotionally invested in that character. And I sort of saw the side of the Okja, the pig. Mm-hmm. It made me translate that into real life. And I actually think, this is where I sit, I realised that I don't think that we necessarily should not eat meat. I think that we are designed to eat meat. But the way that we do it now in this culture, is actually not okay.
Yeah.
So we, you know, it's not the same as like the Native Americans where you can you can hunt it and then you use every single bit and you're really thankful for it and you can recycle and reuse and whatever. But we don't do that.
They
we just
bless it and everything. Yeah, like, yeah. They thank
that's
like,
a real,
the
real big
it.
Deal.
That,
yeah.
I think that's why we're designed to sort of be like that, but unfortunately now we've got abattoirs and things like that,
and it's
like,
just mass
and it's,
slaughter.
It's and it's and I was like, okay, so then I've got a decision of either I can be in denial about that, I can,
which I think
most people are.
I think anyone that eats meat, you know, if you try to say that to them, I think they do. They get
they're in denial.
It's not that they don't want to; it's just a blind eye.
Yeah. I choose to ignore it because otherwise I would cry every time I ate dinner.
So,
but then is that saying something to me?
I started to listen to that, like. Oh, but if I looked at it, I'd get upset. And I was like, well, why are you upset?
Yeah.
Because you know it's wrong.
Well, then don't do it.
Yeah, so then I was like, okay, well, I have a choice and I can support these abattoirs or I cannot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think it sits right with me anymore. I think this film is actually so good as a story, but also the message in it was really powerful. And I'm not saying that if you watch this film, you're going to be a vegetarian because my boyfriend had like a burger straight after. But but for me, it's
a real thing.
It didn't sit with me. Right, yeah, it made me think about it for a day, and then the next day I ended up having a meal, and I was given sort of chicken on a stick, and I had
struggled
a hard,
to get it down.
I struggled with it because like it kind of like something had been clicked in my head, and it wasn't just I've been a vegetarian for a week now.
Wow, well so done you.
You know, bar a sweet that I didn't realise.
Oh yeah,
obviously like,
yeah, but
a lot of gelatin in
because
things,
meat. I know what's meat, but there's a load of products that I don't even know what are in. So it's made me think a little bit about what I'm eating and where it's coming from.
Yeah,
and, like, check the packet because you just don't know what you're just shoving things in your gob most of the time. And you don't really know
where
exactly they're coming
what it
from.
Is.
So I definitely recommend Okja. The last thing for Netflix I'm going to recommend this week is a thing called Double X. So it's like XX.
Ooh, I'm pleased you've watched that because that was another one that I looked at and then thought, okay, this looks good. And then got distracted.
I was so proud of myself. It's 4 short horrors.
And you watched them all? Johanna, this is amazing. Well done.
I think, I watched 3
still
from behind a
one's
pillow.
Enough.
But they weren't like gore horrors.
Okay.
It was more short story with like psychological,
like was it supernatural or was
like
it slasher or yeah. Oh my god, I love those stories.
So they're all different. It's like four different shorts, all sort of weaved together, but even though they're each set stories nothing to do with the other one. And it's just a good little spooky. You can either watch them in episodes or you can just watch the whole thing as like a movie.
I think I'm gonna watch that.
And like the first one was about this sort of woman whose children stop eating and they can't get to the bottom of why their children are refusing to eat, and then the husband decides to go on a he goes, until my children eat, I'm not going to eat.
Right.
And so it's like,
don't give it away.
They'll die in the end.
Yeah. Starvation.
And then there's, so there's a completely different little, but it was, they're really well made.
Excellent.
And I was so excited that short film form was becoming like high up on the Netflix thing.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Because so, if you
they
can
get
make,
buried otherwise,
yeah,
don't they?
They, yeah.
And that's a shame because there are so many hidden gems out there
of short film.
Totally. Mm. Even from, you know, years and years ago, things that people haven't been able to see. And I just think, you know, get on YouTube and have a search, but now you can get on Netflix and have a search.
It's amazing.
You know, they're coming up the list, like you said.
So I was like, that's what drew me, not the horror thing, it went for short films.
Yeah.
So I went, ooh, a horror, ooh. And I was like, I did like a disclosure with my boyfriend. I was like, right, I'm going to watch horror. Like, it's on you if I can't sleep. Right,
yeah.
So. Okay. Actually, just I've got to say, if anyone does struggle with like nightmares and horrors and stuff, because I had a whole life of like having night terrors.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend invented this really cool thing, or maybe someone told him. But so you wake up and you're like, oh my God, my God. And he goes, here's a gun, go back in, sort it out.
Oh.
And like hands you like a little invisible gun. And then you kind of go back in the dream and you go back in with your gun and you literally have the power to go.
That is so simple.
That's so cute.
But it's actually amazing. I think it's like a psychological thing. Of you owning the thing that just scared you.
Makes perfect sense,
that's like
really.
Like night terrors and stuff. Yeah. It's all like psychological stuff in it. So if you're suddenly taking control of the situation, it's like, boom, I'm on it.
It's really empowering.
Die.
And really fun. you know, it's like, boom.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet.
That is lovely.
Take the gun, go. Like,
okay, bye.
But it kind of revolutionised my sleeping pattern. Maybe we should turn this segment into the show in like, I've got vegetarian.
Yeah.
Health life hack by Johanna James. No, maybe not. The Spider-Man movie is out now. I've only seen the first 20 minutes.
But I didn't go and see it because I thought I knew you'd gone to the premiere and I thought you'd seen the whole thing.
No, I went up to a screening the other day and I got the wrong end of the stick, or I missed the memo or whatever, and it was just a 20-minute screening.
Oh, no.
So I turned up, got comfy, took my shoes off, had a massive Toblerone, was like, right, let's do it. But apparently the reviews have been like really amazing.
Well, yeah.
It's the best Spider-Man film and Tom Holland's great and they want to sign him up for like 57 sequels and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've got a little bit of a trailer to play out now. So I'm going to give that a quick little play. And then I think it's going to be the end of the show.
Oh, shame.
So I hope you guys have a lovely weekend. We will be back next week with loads more guests, competitions, and of course, film reviews.
And me. Every week.
Thank you so much, Sophie. You've been amazing today.
Thank you very much for having me. I've had a great time.
It's been brilliant. Right, this is Spider-Man trailer, and we are over and out.
Hey, Peter. You coming tonight?
I can't tonight. I got the Stark internship.
What's up, guys?
Mr. Stark, here's my report for tonight. I stopped the Grand Theft bicycle.
Hey, could you do me a favor? Hold on to that. Is this anybody's bike?
Oh, I helped this old lady and she bought me a churro. So, that was nice.
These weapons are crazy dangerous.
Listen, Peter, there are people who handle this sort of thing. Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man?
What are you hiding, Peter? I'm just kidding, I don't care. Bye.
There's a ton of other subsystems in here, but they're all disabled by the training wheels protocol.
I'm sick of Mr. Stark treating me like a kid.
But you are a kid.
Yeah, a kid who can stop a bus with his bare hands.
Yo, half your man, them a locked up pistol, running butch. Them cold ass nights on the strip, never done him good. Ride for my team and I ride like my brothers would. And we don't do friends round here, man, it's brotherhood. We don't do friends round here, 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 it's brotherhood. Yeah, welcome to hell. Bring your G-man, he's welcome as well. Tell police to release for my team, do it ASAP, for I come felt on myself. So tell me, why do you draw me out? I keep on guard when I walk about. Old school beef with some old school youths, but I'm real old school. I'll sort them out, I just done some things that I never intended. Fucked up streets, that's fucked up beef that's never been ended. I won't act like I've never been tempted. Grab my gun and go to war. To grab my gun with no remorse. To catch the U and blow my torch. To kill the prick and go to court. Who cares who you done back then? Round here, young G's don't think twice. Come to your block with a Big Mac 10. Yo, fuck boy, should've stayed inside. Man, don't care what your name on the road. Don't come round here thinking you're tough. We don't care what you done in 06. Just know real niggas pull your bluff. Yo. Half your man, them a locked up pistol, running butch. Them cold ass nights on the strip, never done him good. Ride for my team and I ride like my brothers would. And we don't do friends round here, man, it's brotherhood. We don't do friends round here, 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 it's brotherhood.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.